I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is the Unapologetically Black Podcast.
Understanding that your blackness is part of your greatness.
Blackness just comes from being me, and that's it.
Men are allowed to do whatever the fuck they want to do. They can be cheaters, they can be liars, but women are expected to be righteous.
So if you're someone who in a concert you're going to say the N-word, in my opinion, at home you're going to say it as well. In friendship, there's someone who deposits and there's someone who withdraws. You don't want to be the friend that's keep depositing and the person that keeps withdrawing.
Poor people don't have time for depression.
I'm so tired.
Banning abortions doesn't actually reduce abortion.
But actually, if my mental health is not okay, I can't help you in any capacity.
I mean, my entire life, I've lived under the gaze of my parents.
Fuck that shit.
Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of Dig Deep. Now, if it's your first time listening, Dig Deep is the episode where myself and Leanne quite literally dig deep into our sisterhood. So we ask each other a series of questions. Sometimes it's lighthearted, sometimes it's a bit serious. I'm sensing serious vibes from today's episode. And we just basically get closer with each other and we share that journey with you. And we also encourage you guys to give it a go too. So if you ever have any questions you want to ask us that you want us to ask each other, or if you ever just have any opinions, then feel free to email us at info@dopeblackwoman.org or to connect with us on any social media handles. Yes, that is the advert done. Hi, Leanne. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little bit tired today. Today, it's been like an exhausting week. I was traveling all of the last couple of weeks. And, you know, I've had this week, I had a birthday celebration for Barry last night, where I got him a cake in the shape of the Grinch, which was very cute.
Why did you get him the Grinch?
Because he's the Grinch.
Does he actually like
quite
Christmas?
Quite literally. No, he hates Christmas, which is why he's the Grinch. Right. Yeah, he is actually the Grinch and just a miserable soul in general. When we were getting ready for people to come over last night, he was just like, I just don't know. It's just my birthday. Like, we shouldn't even be doing anything. It's not a big deal. Like, he hates celebrating himself. So I thought the Grinch was appropriate. And yeah, just looking forward to the weekend, man. I feel like I've been a lot more boundaried about my weekends and making sure that I'm not doing like my 9-to-5 job on the weekends anymore, which leaves me lots of time to make content for TikTok.
Do you know what's interesting about that is because I was saying to someone the other day, like, wow, my evenings are back. I actually just chill. And it's because I stopped freelancing and I realized how it is to be a normal person who just works a job and comes home. Whereas before, I'd come home, do this, do that, do this, do that, do that. It would be crazy. Whereas I actually have a routine now. Like, I get up before my alarm, I sleep at a set time. Like, the fuck? Who am I, baby? It's crazy.
Do you know what's funny about that, though? Is you're talking about having a regular 9-to-5 when you actually also run a whole entire platform and do other things. Like, your version and our version of having a regular 9-to-5 is having two jobs instead of three, or two jobs instead of many.
Yeah, two jobs instead of many clients. Although I do have, I'm going to start again in a minute because I want a solo trip this year. I've been talking about going on a solo trip and I want to have one, but I've decided that or not that I've decided, but I know that I get anxiety when I'm flying. So for me to be able to have a solo trip and not have to fear of being, I have to fly business class. Being serious, I need to fly so I can lay down and sleep.
You telling me? I don't do long haul flights anymore unless I fly business class.
Like, so I'm like, because of that, I need the funds to pay. So I'm like, let me do some client bits so I can pay for the business class trip. And then, that's what I decided.
Makes sense to me.
But I wanted to ask you, you mentioned just now that Barry doesn't really like celebrating himself. And obviously your birthday is just gone, which we celebrated together. But how easy is it for you to celebrate yourself?
That's a good question. I think I celebrate myself alone. It's weird. Like, I definitely celebrate my wins. Like, I get excited when good things happen, but I don't often feel it necessary to share because I almost don't want to, like, be seen as gloating, you know what I mean? I would say that there are two times where I've celebrated myself. One, when I finished my PhD and I had a party, and even then, like, I celebrated somebody else's degree as well as my own. Like, it wasn't just about me, and that was intentional. And maybe the wedding,
that doesn't count
then. That's probably the only time then.
Well, you see how you gave me the target last year, actually probably since we met, to spend more myself and to do more things for myself. That needs to be a target for you this year, to celebrate yourself more.
Okay, I can take on that challenge. Does going on a solo trip count as celebrating myself?
No, because you do that all the time anyway. How can you say, I'll take the challenge, I'll just do what I do now? No. No.
Well, I haven't been on a solo trip in a while, thought I'd check. Okay.
No. Oh, something else I wanted to also talk about is, you know, in our last episode when we were talking about the angry black woman, and we spoke about like how we approach it very differently, and I was saying to you, like, I not suppress my anger, but I don't really show the emotion anger quite often.
Channeling so it in a different way.
Oh, I love that way of putting it. Yes, darling. Channel it differently. So I was on either TikTok or Instagram, and I watched this guy talking about anger, and he was saying that some people train themselves to have a delayed emotional reaction. And I feel like that's what I do. And he used the example of, you know, with himself, he does that, and he will maybe write text and then not send it. And that is literally what I do when I'm angry. And it made me think about it properly. And I was like, when I'm angry, I do express it, but it's just not direct to the person. So I might like write a text or like write an email or write a whatever and send it back to myself.
It's interesting because, you know, they often say, like, I remember my therapist a long time ago, especially when you're younger, like a teenager, like all of the anger that you have, you write it in a letter and then you tear it up or you burn it or whatever it is. And that's supposed to have that release of emotion. I guess sometimes I also think about like if you were upset with me and you wrote a text to me and then deleted it, I might not know that you were upset with me, you know? And so in the context of our friendship, how would you handle that? Would you just wait until you're ready to talk to me after you've written a text and deleted it to get it out for yourself and then have a conversation with me later on?
So I feel like by nature, I'm quite a sensitive person. So because of that, I feel like I always try to have more time to process something so that I make sure that when I'm talking to someone, I know where it's coming from. Like, am I coming from being triggered? Am I coming from anxiety? Am I coming from actually being hurt by this person? So I feel like I can think of an exact example of a friend. So a few months ago, I felt like a friend was continuously rude to me over a period of time. But within that time, we had a conversation where I kind of identified where her rudeness per se comes from in general, as opposed to me. So because of that, I was able to identify that actually this is not a personal thing. It's still an issue, but it's not a personal thing. I've planned in my head later on in the year when we're going to have a conversation to address that. Not me being like, that day when you was rude to me, but actually as a friend being like, I think we should talk about this because I want to support you with actually changing the way you maneuver in this sort of way. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah. That makes sense.
I think with me, I like to like really process things and understand where it's coming from. I would never like suppress how I feel because I don't want to show the emotion, anger. Like if you made me feel upset or angry, I'm always going to communicate that to you. It just might not be today when the issue happened. It might be tomorrow,
right,
or it might be next week, because I want to process what has actually happened and actually deem if I think it's necessary to bring up or not. And then also understand how I actually want to move forward with it or not as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. Very much sure.
That's me. No, I'm joking. But yeah, let's go into dig deep. Seeing as you just asked me a question, I'm going to start.
Okay, go for it.
So the first one I'm going to ask you is, what's something you should have done but you haven't, and why?
Oh, I mean, in the short term, I have a book proposal to write that I have not been giving any attention to. I hope my editor doesn't listen to this. And simply because like life has just been like super busy, and I'm thinking that I have a little bit of imposter syndrome, especially because what I'm writing about is so personal. So I feel like I'm avoiding it. Like I'm doing everything else under the sun except that, because I'm having imposter syndrome about actually putting pen to paper. And I need to work through that in order to be able to write this thing. So, yeah.
But what does working through that look like practically?
I think it works by me blocking out some time, like literally nobody talk to me, turn off my phone, and taking it step by step. So instead of looking at it like this overwhelming project, I take it in chunks and say, okay, today I'm going to work on this, tomorrow I'm going to work on this, so that it feels a little bit more digestible. Definitely doing what I never do, which is asking someone to like read and give me feedback before I actually send it in to whoever it is that needs to be sent into. And potentially seeking some support, like asking Barry to cook dinner instead. So I don't have, I have one less.
So you have a bit more time.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about that is because I feel like when we work on projects together, it's like, not that it's your responsibility, but it is by nature of skill set, I suppose. Like, it's like your responsibility to do the project plan, yeah? So yeah. I feel like maybe you should try and approach it as if it's a project like that and do that plan. Do you know what I mean? Like, have the interim goals and then try and maybe assign a friend, whether it's me, whether it's Kemi or whoever, that has to keep you accountable to those deadlines.
100%. Yeah, that's what I meant by, like, taking it in chunks and doing piece by piece. And I have, like, my, you guys can't see it, but I have my whiteboards in front of me, and usually I write out step by step, and I need to start doing, I need to do that for my life in general, but more specifically about that. And then the other part of this, actually, which is connected, which you'll be very pleased to hear, is that I'm about to start EMDR.
No way.
Yes.
So for guys that are listening, EMDR is a type of therapy that stands for eye movement desensitization therapy, I think. And I've done it before, and I've ranted and raved to Leanne about how amazing it is. And typically people that do EMDR therapy have gone through quite intense levels of trauma. But it is a life-changing, like I genuinely believe it's life-changing and it's amazing, but it's very, very intense and scary, which is a balance I always try to bring to it. So that's just a bit of context if you haven't heard of it, but tell me more.
Yeah, so in this kind of thinking through this writing process, I realized how much of my childhood I don't actually remember. We've gone way off on a tangent now, but we'll get back. And my therapist, shout out to Sharon, was like, this sounds like trauma. And I was like, I'm sure it is, but don't know what it is because I can't remember. And so she suggested EMDR. And I'm going to start this week.
Well, I'd love to know how that goes in your own time.
I will. I'll keep you posted on the journey. But I think it will help my writing process in terms of like being comfortable to really face some of the things that I'm writing about.
How do you feel about tapping into that unknown? Because obviously we've spoken about therapy before on the podcast in regards to like, you know, other things can come up and it's a process and it's a journey. Mm-hmm. But EMDR really is other things will come up, you know? So like how do you feel about that, like that?
I'm excited to a certain extent because I feel like there are so many stories I've heard about my childhood that I think I've formed memories around because people have told me and I've created visuals off of those stories. But I don't remember a lot of my childhood. This is very intense, but like up until the age of 10 or 11, it's almost like I have a VR headset on and I'm watching, I'm observing, but I can't see myself in those moments and in those stories.
That's like disassociation. Do you have the experience as an adult?
No.
Because okay, I experience it as an adult quite a lot.
Really?
Yeah. When I looked at my diagnosis letter like this week, and that's actually on it as a diagnosis, disassociation.
Interesting. Yeah, so I'm nervous to see what else will come out, the things that I've obviously blocked, but I also want to kind of remember what, because I feel like I had a good childhood. Like I love my mom, you know, I remember loving her. I remember there being a lot of like tension and anxiety in my household, but I also remember, I think I remember good times. So
I mean, yeah, and the thing is, you might only remember good times when you go back to it, but it might just be sadness in that, like, of the nostalgia of not being with your mom when you're younger anymore and things like that. So I think just remember to try and have something afterwards that isn't work related, that really is for yourself, to kind of decompose. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So no going into EMDR and then going back to work right after.
No, not, no. Genuinely speaking, no, no.
Oh, okay.
No. Good to know. No, not at all. No. I mean, I don't think for any sort of therapy, it's good to like do it and then go into work. But obviously, if you've been doing therapy for years or you've already got your routine, that's different. Let me give you an example of something that came out for me in EMDR. Yeah. So I had a session, and when I was like going back in time, the person that I was seeing was me when I was younger, but the person actually was Cheyenne, my little sister. It wasn't me. Yeah. Do you get what I mean? So I'm really? Seeing me.
That's interesting. Yeah.
So I was meant to be going back in time. So sometimes with EMDR, you'll go back into a memory, but your brain will take you somewhere else. So I've gone back to this traumatic experience, but then okay, my brain took me to where I live now and my room, how it is now, but my sister being in it, but the person in the memory is me. But it's my sister in this room. Does that make sense?
Wow.
And
I guess if you're comfortable saying, what did that mean? Like, what was Cheyenne's presence? What did it
mean?
Well,
at the end of that session, what I realized is, and this is mad because you're going to like, you'll be able to see the direct correlation, yeah? Do you remember before I used to have my siblings like every weekend, all the time? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's genuinely out of a place of love, being close to them and wanting to be with them. But when I did EMDR therapy, I realized that I had this innate need to keep them safe and want to protect them. And so me having them with me every weekend makes me know that they're safe because I'm in control of what they're doing and what's going on. Do you get what I mean? So in a way, yeah, me looking after them all the time is giving them the safety that I probably needed when I was growing up. And it comforts me to know, yeah, that like they're not at risk of anything because they're with me. They're not with anybody else. And yeah, so yeah, that's that why I spend sense. Less time with them now. Well, I still spend lots of time with them. I still talk to them like every bloody day. But that's why I'm more intentional with how much time I spend with them, like in terms of like it being every single weekend. Because when I took a step back, I was like, maybe this is actually a bit of an obsession with their safety. And actually, it's actually not healthy. Do you get what I mean? And I had to really like unpack that and speak to my mom about it. And now, yeah, they haven't, even my sister said to me the other day, like, we haven't been to your house in ages. And I feel like it's been a while now. I think it's been like a year or a year and a half since that realization. So we can definitely have them around more than I do currently. But it just helped me to understand like this isn't coming from a healthy place. And that's why I think therapy is so interesting, because people always think, oh, therapy is when something's wrong with you or you go through something traumatic. And it's like, okay, yeah, in that example, trauma is what led me to get an EMDR therapy. But actually, what seemed very normal or what seemed very healthy, I like to spend lots of time with my siblings, didn't come from a healthy place.
Yeah.
And it's actually getting to the root cause to actually realize, and understand why we act in the way we do as adults, like today.
We already went deep. First question in.
But yeah, that's my point. Like, EMDR, it could take you anywhere, basically.
Well, I will keep you posted on how it's going.
Oh, no, it's up to you.
Maybe this question will bring us out of the depths of therapy. In an ideal world, what would we be doing more of?
What's interesting about this answer is that it's things that we could actually do. It's not really things that are ideal. It's things that we could do, we just haven't yet or aren't. I feel like in an ideal world, we could be doing more speaking engagements, as an example. I obviously have my first one coming up, which is because of your support. Otherwise, I never would have done it. As in my first like solo one, just me talking, not on a panel. And I think we could also be traveling more, whether it's together or separately. And probably actually just celebrating ourselves more on an individual basis. So going back to that conversation I asked you earlier about like, how do you celebrate yourself? I feel like as like a society in general, I think we take for granted sometimes the little things we do within a week that deserve to be celebrated, even if they're small. I don't mean celebrated as in I'm going to get a Gucci bag because I went to work on time today, but just really small things. Like, for example, when I left, so I have two office days during the week. And when I left work this week, I was really gassed because I was like, oh my days, I spoke to so many people this week. But like last week, I had to have my mum on the phone with me in my ears just so I could say hi to everyone in the office, because that's how crazy my anxiety was. Do you get what I mean? But like this week, she wasn't on the phone and I spoke to loads of different people. So like if next week I talk in a meeting without being prompted by my manager or whatever, that's also a win. And I feel like sometimes we have to like genuinely celebrate ourselves for those small milestones, because that's why I think when we get the big milestones, it's like, okay, on to the next one. Because we haven't really deeped what it took to get there. It's just like we just have this thing happen. Yeah. So those would be my three, I think.
Do you know what's funny is, well, two things. My immediate thought was make more money, which may have led to all of the things that you just mentioned.
Well, if we had more money, but then all those things would happen, you know, darling.
Exactly. But I don't know if you remember that meme that we posted the other day, the reel where this young girl is like, I'm supposed to wash my hair, wash my diet, make sure that I'm getting enough vitamins. Socialize. She's like, girl, if you took a bath today, then clap yourself up, pat yourself on the back. And it's so true. Like sometimes just getting through the day is an accomplishment. Like it's between work and having to socialize and making sure that your hair looks good, making sure you made it to the gym. Some of us haven't been making it to the gym. It's me.
No, this is you. Making it to the gym. Some of us haven't been to the gym. That's me.
But, you know, it takes a lot to just, you know.
Exist.
Yeah, I was talking to Barry this morning. I was like, dude, I'm tired. Like, I'm exhausted. I woke up super late this morning. Normally, I wake up at 5. I got up at, like, 7. And he's like, you realize that you've been traveling and maintaining work over the past month, like, nonstop. And it didn't even dawn on me that that had been the case, but it's true. And I'm about to get on a plane again in another couple of weeks. So it's, if you took a bath today, ladies, pat yourself on the back.
Yes. Okay, another question. What have I never heard you say?
That's a good question, because there are so many different ways
to interpret
that could be. Yeah. Can I have a hug?
No, for real.
You've never heard me say that, I'm sure.
I'm sure I never will.
Because I... You might. It could happen.
No, it does not happen.
It could happen. And it's funny, but I was on a work trip once and my boss said... I know you're not a hugger, but I'm going to hug you right now, because we had gotten this really cool space and like, it, you know, the trip was working out well. And she gave me this massive hug. And I immediately felt uncomfortable. But it's not because I didn't enjoy the hug. Like, I liked I like being hugged. I just don't know how to initiate intimacy in that way.
When you was growing up, yeah, let's go some EMDR. When you was growing up,
should I start tapping myself?
Get the light out, baby. Get the light. When you was growing up, was hugs common in the household?
Oh yeah, I mean, my dad was not a hugger for sure, but my mom used to hug us all the time.
And then, did you hug between siblings?
She kissed us. I don't remember.
Do you find it easier to hug your siblings now? Or is it the same, like...
Yes. No, I find it easier to hug them, but I think my hugging is like, when I greet somebody, I hug them. You know what I mean? But you know that moment where you're like, you're just so happy about something want to hug somebody and like, do you know what I mean? Like that kind of hug, where it's not like greeting and saying goodbye.
It's more like an embrace.
An embrace.
Yeah, I get that though. If you'd more say something verbally, you'd be verbal in that moment. Whereas like, I more would have a facial expression. Do you get what I mean? I feel like everyone does things differently. Yeah. Like, someone might be physical and a hug. You might be like, oh my days. And I might just be like...
Yeah, you would do that.
Do you get what I mean? Because if you imagine like me, you and like Leanne, the other Leanne, or me, you and Livs.
Ailey, yeah.
Livs and Leanne, they'll both hug.
Yeah, that's very true.
So I think it's just like how we interact as people a bit differently. Although you don't hug in general, to be honest, but yeah.
On some level, I feel like it's probably something that I need. Like when my girlfriend Jeline is a hugger, like that's how she is. Oh, you know Jeline, yeah. And when she hugs me, just out of the blue, I embrace it, right? And it feels good. Like I enjoy being held, but I don't seek it out. It's weird in that sense. But it's not as if somebody did it to me.
You wouldn't like it.
Yeah, it's not as I didn't like it when my boss hugged me. And it was such a great hug as well. It's just that there was this initial like...
uncomfortability.
What's the right word? Yeah. There's this initial discomfort. And then I was able to embrace it. But there's always like an initial pull away. And I don't know where that comes from. But, you know.
EMDR, we'll let you know.
I love how we're taking the piss out of this process that we're both praising and going through.
You gotta find out tonight. Sorry. Therapy banter over.
Go to therapy and check out our TikTok for Roshan's key therapy tips. Very, very important. If I was in your shoes, what do you think I'd find most gratifying?
I feel like, I'm going to say my answer, but if you want me to take it out of the podcast, then tell me after, yeah? but I feel like, based on what you've said to me recently, I feel like you would find it most gratifying to be in a place where, like, all your closest people are surrounded. So I feel like based on the season that you're in currently, if you were to sort of places, then you'd be surrounded by your closest friends, your closest family. And I feel like that's something that you would really appreciate at the moment.
100%. Very true.
But you're not, definitely. So it's fine. You're in Jamaica.
It sucks for Leanne.
You're in Jamaica, you see? We both want the opposite things in life. I want to be in Jamaica.
I was just about to say, if you were asking me this question, I would say, well, I'm here and you're not.
We just got to balance each other out of our stories, okay? I'll give you a voice note on the weekend about what I did with my friends. You can give me a voice note about, you know, what's going on in Jamaica right now. And maybe that will heal our little things that's going on inside. Mm-hmm.
I'll send you some videos from the beach.
Thank you. What do you think is the easiest thing for me when it comes to money?
Well, I mean, we've talked about this, but saving is obviously quite important to you and you prioritize it. And yeah, I mean, I think you're just super organized as it relates to money. You budget, you save, you don't overspend unnecessarily. And I don't know if that comes with practice or if it just comes naturally to you.
It comes with fear. It comes with fear. Me being disciplined with money comes with fear of not having money. It comes with fear of struggle. Okay? This is a trauma response, baby. It's a trauma response. See, I don't know if this comes to you naturally. No. Well, it does. I guess it does now because I've been like this since I was 14. So there's years in practice in it.
Yeah, it's built into you.
It does. But like initially it came from being 14 and earning my money in my first job. And I remember I said to myself, if there's £400 in my account, I'm at zero. So between zero and £400, that was my overdraft. That was my mental overdraft.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've always been like that. And I went to uni and didn't get an overdraft.
I will say the one thing that is for me important, and this speaks to what you've just said, is that as much as I am not necessarily the greatest saver, I don't like the idea of having an overdraft. Like the concept of or having debt. The concept of living in my overdraft. Some people live in their overdraft. Like they're
happy with it as well. And not in a bad way. They're good.
That would send my anxiety through the roof. Having like unpaid bills, panic attack immediately. Like, yeah.
All my bills, every single one of them, they're paid a month in advance.
Yeah.
This is what I'm trying to say is fear. And I think the idea around credit cards, not credit cards, around overdraft and living in it is so interesting because I remember I was talking to someone about another person and I was like, wow, like it's so sick because they're able to do all these things. Like it's crazy. Yeah. And this person has quite a few kids and is a single mom. And I'm like, they're always doing all these things. Like it's amazing. I can never do all these things. And then the first someone was like to me, but it's all credit card and overdraft. So that's why you can't do it, because you live within your means. And I just thought, oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
But it just reminded me of the fact that, like, first of all, nothing's real. I always say the internet is not a real place. But mm-hmm. also people will really live in a way that's what is comfortable for one person will be like someone else's nightmare. Like even I got a credit card before. What did I get the credit card for originally? Oh, when I first moved out, I got a credit card to help me like buy furniture and stuff at 0%. And I told myself, I'm just going to use it and then pay it off slowly. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that 0% credit card needs to be cleared by the end of May.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I've got to say. Let's see if we get there, guys. Let's see if we get there. Because right now, I've been trying to clear it this year, but it's like I'm clearing it and still spending. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, literally now, one of my credit cards, as soon as I cleared it, I literally cut it up. Like, I still have the account, but I don't have the card to use it.
But do you know what it is? You know how I use your Amazon account, yeah?
Yeah.
There was a time before where my bank that I bank with, I kept getting frauded through Amazon. Do you remember I messaged you and I was like, why am I getting charged for all of this stuff? So then because of that, they've blocked me from using the Amazon. But that same bank I have a credit card with,
okay.
And because on the Amazon account, do you remember I kept being annoying, like using your card and sending you the money? And I was thinking, this is just not practical. Because sometimes I forget to send the money. It's just long. So then I put my credit card on the Amazon account. And I use Amazon a lot.
Yes, you do.
This is not an ad. I just love Amazon. So because of that, that's why the credit card is not clearing. Because all my Amazon comes from credit cards.
fair.
It's a lot.
We'll work it out. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Is it my turn to ask you a question? Okay, cool. So my next question is, what do you see that I don't?
That's the end of the question.
Yeah, that's the entire question.
What do I see that you don't?
You could go any number of ways.
I see dead people. Imagine if that's what I said.
We would be having an off-camera conversation. Although,
did I tell you though that I used to see people? Did I ever tell you that?
I was just gonna say, although when I was younger, not me personally, but my mom, and for some reason every housekeeper that I've ever had has seen my grandfather. Like, he's a constant spirit in our space for some reason. So it's not as I don't believe in it, but I would want to know more. Like, so tell me more. Who are these dead people?
When I was younger, I used to see people. I used to have hallucinations all the time, but it wasn't in that way. It was hallucinations, so it was very scary and terrifying, actually. Ruined my life. And,
did you see...
That's why I have to do EMDR, guys. That is why! Because I was seeing people!
Wait, did you see people that you knew or people that were just strange, like complete strangers?
No. So the majority of the time, it wasn't like, it wasn't people that I knew. The majority of the time, it wasn't.
Okay.
And then some of the time, it was more... how can I say this in a way? So I'm just thinking, if I've spoken about it on the podcast before, I don't know if I have. So basically, when some people have hallucinations and it's triggered by trauma, they may hallucinate the person that was the perpetrator of the crime or of the traumatic event. Let's say, right. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. So I don't know what that person looks like. So it was just different variations. So it was more like there's a thing, and this thing is that.
Got you.
But the thing could look different every time. And like sometimes it would be like a floating head. It was honestly, now that I'm not in that space, it was so weird. It would literally be like a floating head. But this thing would be like, would like paralyze me wherever I am, like physically. It was really, really...
That's scary.
It was really... Yeah. Woo! One day we'll do another episode about hallucinations. Gosh, I got stories to tell you! Shout out EDMR!
I think that should just be the name of this episode.
No, for real. Shout out EMDR, boy. But yeah, I feel like I'm plugging it. You'd think I have shares. I really don't. but no, the question was, what do I see that you don't?
Yeah.
The reason why I think it's hard to answer this question, yeah, is because I think if I was talking to maybe somebody else, like another friend that I have in my head, my response would be leading in terms of like, My response would be something that's fueled by like visions, the bigger picture of the world. Right. But I don't think either of us see the world or see our abilities or capacities to exist and excel in the world bounded by anything or like limited by anything. So it's hard to give you an answer like that when I know that there's nothing that either of us really think we can't do. We just might not know how to get there or might not think it's something for us to do in the season that we're in right now, for example.
True.
So the only thing that I could think of, and I feel like I don't really like this idea, this answer. The only thing I could think of is that, and it was mainly because we were just talking about money. I feel like I've even said this on the podcast. But anyway, the only thing I can think of is that I think you should give yourself more credit for how you manage money.
Thank you.
Because I don't see you and think of you as someone who's like shit with money or terrible with money or has poor money management at all. But I think maybe because we're on a bit different ends of the spectrum. Sometimes if you have conversations, you're like, oh, I'm bad with money. I'm not good with money. And I'm like, no, you are. There's room for improvement. Like there is everyone, but you are. So I feel like that's something I see in yourself that I don't know if you necessarily see in yourself too.
Well, thank you. That means a lot and is a source of motivation to do even better.
Okay, last question. When was the last time you misunderstood me and what have you learned from it?
When was the last time I misunderstood you? So not me misunderstanding you, not you misunderstanding me, but me misunderstanding you. This is, when was the last time I misunderstood you? I don't remember what it was, mm-hmm. but we had a conversation about it. Like, I actually now cannot remember what it was that I misunderstood. It was definitely tone, something like a message that we had via WhatsApp.
Oh yeah, I know.
Do you know what you know what I'm talking about? But I genuinely cannot remember what it was.
Neither can I. It was ages ago, and I feel like if the question was, if the question was about conflict, that would be the only time that I could use an example to do it.
Yeah,
I feel like we were texting each other to do something, and I think the way I was writing it was as if I was like, it was like the issue was coming from me. Like the way I was writing it was like maybe blunt or like. No?
I genuinely don't remember. I just remember what happened afterwards.
So I remember I was having a conversation, but the conversation was fueled by a text, like conversations via WhatsApp. And I feel like we both wasn't understanding each other. So I was seeing it as one thing, you were seeing it as one thing. And we ended up having a conversation. It was like, oh.
But what I learned was that, you know, sometimes you feel something about someone and you don't know whether they feel the same way. Like there's always a moment where you realize that you're actually on the same page or you're not on the same page. And I think that was a moment for me. Like I always assume that, you know, not that the world hates me, but especially when I'm on my period, I definitely think the worst of myself and that everybody sees the worst of myself. And I think what I learned is that like, it was just a moment where our friendship was solidified in the way of actually expressing that we are on the same page and that we would never say anything to hurt each other, which I think was an unspoken thing, but it's something that we both verbalized to each other at that time and being like, this is what I think of our friendship. And if you don't think that, then we need to think about what this is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it just kind of confirmed that we do think the same thing of our friendship and we do have the same feelings for each other in terms of our
friendship. Yes, and, Barry, yeah. You're in love with me.
Yeah, that's the last time I think, and the only time I think I've misunderstood you, and obviously it just strengthened our friendship to be able to, and we didn't even really have a long conversation about it. It was just like, this is how I feel. This is how you feel. Obviously our friendship surpasses this. So it's fine. And it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's on that period. Ooh.
The joke is that neither of us can remember exactly what it was about. And that's the funny part, because obviously it wasn't anything. It probably had more to do with what my headspace was at or where your headspace was at. Like you were probably.
And how we felt like we was being made to feel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is why I always say, it's not what they said, it's how they made you feel. Yeah.
So, we both said
it. Well, that must be the Jamaican version because. Actually, I did say it's not what you say, it's how you said it on like a different episode. I did say that.
Oh, potentially.
Maybe they go in hand.
I think so, because how you say something makes somebody feel a certain way.
Feel, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Look at that, guys. Teamwork. And that is dig deep.
All right, I'm going to stop recording.
Thank you so much for listening to the Unapologetically Black podcast, brought to you by the Dope Black Women CIC.
If you like this episode, please tweet us, DM us, or even message us at Dope Black Women across all socials.
Unapologetically Black.